Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here on this Friday. So today, I think you know we reached a landmark in our fight against COVID-19. As of 1 minute after midnight today, this morning, every county in Pennsylvania has moved out of the red phase to either yellow or green. And today we also have 34 counties that moved into the green phase, which means either last week or this week, which means that all businesses will be open. Of course, in the green phase, people still have to take precautions like wearing a mask, make sure that we don't have new outbreaks. We want to keep safe. And while we've reopened Pennsylvania with today's everybody moving at least to yellow, we still have continued to see a decline in new infections. And Secretary Levine will talk more about that. This is really great progress. In addition, at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, June 12th, which is next Friday, 12 more counties will move from yellow to green, and they are Adams County, Beaver, Carbon, Columbia, Cumberland, Juniata, Mifflin, Northumberland, Union, Wayne, Wyoming, and York. I am very proud of our Commonwealth for hitting this point in our reopening. And I want to take a minute to thank everyone who has assisted us in getting this far. First, thank you to the healthcare workers. I mean, they are heroes. Our medical facility support staff, all these folks have been fighting on the front lines. Thank you, too, to our essential workers for keeping us fed, clothed, and housed during this crisis. Third, thank you to the local officials who have had to make very, very tough decisions to keep residents safe. And finally, thank you to every Pennsylvanian for doing your part, big or small, in making sure that we get through this. Keep in mind, what we were trying to do in the red phase was buy time. We needed to make sure that we didn't overwhelm our healthcare system and allow us to make the improvements we need to make. So we've continued to make these improvements, and they're helping our response today. And we want to make sure that we continue this because there may be a resurgence as we get into flu season later in the year. As I announced earlier this week, we surpassed our 2% testing. Well, I guess actually you did, Dr. Levine. We surpassed our 2% testing goal in May, and on Wednesday alone, we completed 11,523 tests. I think the record is over 13,000. And we have nearly 400 people right now conducting contact tracing. The hope is by the end of the summer we have thousands of people who are able to do trained to do contact tracing. As I announced earlier this week, we've partnered with private entities like Walmart, CVS, Quest Diagnostics, and others to rapidly establish drive-up COVID-19 testing locations. I think we have 384 locations now throughout the Commonwealth. Some of these locations are having soft launches today, and each of these places will test up to 50 registered patients 3 days per week. That's a daily number for three times a week. And this is just part of our ongoing efforts to increase the volume of tests, as well as the number of testing locations in every corner of Pennsylvania. It's not just a matter of having the tests. It's a matter of having the locations, making sure that these tests are accessible. So to my fellow Pennsylvanians, if you have symptoms of COVID-19, that is a cough, fever, loss of smell or taste, or abdominal pain, please do not hesitate to call your doctor and ask for a test. By testing more Pennsylvanians, we can better identify cases of COVID-19. And using contact tracing and isolating, we can prevent one case from becoming 3 or 10 or 20. As we continue to bring down the number of new COVID-19 cases, and as we increase our testing rate, our new plan of action is transitioning to one of identify, isolate, and eliminate. We've moved away from this broad brush, blunt instrument of mitigation to these three things to really target the effort to contain and get rid of this COVID-19 virus. So thank you to everybody for doing your part. This has really been important. Now, I just want to end on one cautionary note. While the total case count continues to decline throughout Pennsylvania, Erie County is experiencing a rise in its new case count, as well as an increase in its percent positive rate. This is a concern. In fact, it's actually alarming to our epidemiologists who believe that an outbreak is occurring as we speak in Erie County. I know and I understand that Erie County's residents are eager to move from the yellow phase into the green phase. Like everybody else, they're frustrated. But with these signs of community spread, the potential of community spread of the coronavirus, we need to contain it before it can move forward, before the virus can move forward, and before we can feel comfortable moving into the green phase. They're in yellow. So we're going to provide 6 contact tracers to Erie to help their health department and help mitigate the spread. And we're going to give them as much help as possible so that they can move forward safely and quickly. So, again, thank you to everybody for your continued support as we all of us, each of us, 13 million Pennsylvanians, work together to get through this pandemic as quickly and as safely as possible. Now I'm going to turn this over to Secretary Levine. Dr. Levine.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. Here is our latest update on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. As of 12 a.m. this morning, we have 443 new cases of COVID-19. This brings our statewide total to 74,385 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19 in all 67 counties. Tragically, 5,886 deaths have now been attributed to COVID-19. Statewide, we are estimating that 70% of the people that have had COVID-19 have now recovered. We are aware of now 19 confirmed cases of the pediatric condition MISC, or multisystem inflammatory syndrome, in children as defined by the CDC. 15 cases remain under investigation. The children impacted range in age from 10 months of age to 18 years of age, with a median age of 9 years. And they're being cared for in our children's hospitals and other fantastic hospitals in Pennsylvania. Today, I would like to echo Governor Wolf's thanks to all Pennsylvanians who have worked so hard to keep us safe. Those on the front lines and those who did their part by staying home. Almost overnight, our entire world changed. What seemed like a mysterious, far away respiratory virus isolated to one part of China quickly wreaked havoc across the globe. When this virus reached our shores, Pennsylvanians rose to the challenge. It has been difficult, and so many have lost so much, but we have saved countless lives while we wait for better testing and for the development of a safe and effective vaccine. However, as the governor was emphasizing, our work is not yet done. As our state moves towards reopening, we all need to remember to stay alert. If you feel sick, please stay home. If you are experiencing any of the symptoms associated with COVID-19, please get tested. And remember, my mask protects you and your mask protects me. And if we're all wearing masks, then the community is protected. As the governor has said, we have bought ourselves time to build up our healthcare capacity and our healthcare system to handle a surge of critical patients and to save lives. Our work continues to protect residents, especially our vulnerable patients in long-term care living facilities. Today, we issued a notice for nursing homes, personal care homes, and assisted living facilities that are moving to the green phase. To further prevent outbreaks within these vulnerable populations, ongoing restrictions, including a visitation, will remain in place for at least 28 days after the respective facility's county goes to green. This is an important step to continue to protect those vulnerable residents. But I know it's just really challenging, both for the families who have loved ones in these facilities and for the patients themselves in these facilities. So we'll be constantly working to see how we might adjust that in terms of visitation. But for now, the visitation is restricted. We are also adding a new tool to our website today for Pennsylvania residents to see how their county is doing in terms of our reopening metrics. These metrics include either a stable or decreasing or low confirmed case counts over the last 2 weeks, that contacts of cases are being monitored, the contact tracing that the governor mentioned, that the positivity rate of the test for the virus itself is less than 10% in the last 14 days, that hospital bed usage is 90% or lower for the regional population, and the county has been in yellow for at least 14 days. It's not a guarantee, but at least 14 days, because that's the possible incubation period of the virus. This tool can be found in the Pennsylvania data section of our website at health.pa.gov. Now, here are my daily reminders. Please continue to wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, so the time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. Please use hand sanitizer liberally if soap and water are not available. Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbow, not with your hands. And please don't touch your face, especially after touching surfaces. Clean surfaces frequently. And if you have to go out for life-sustaining activities and for other activities now, please wear a mask if you're going to come into contact with others, even in the green zones. If you have questions about your health, please contact your health care provider. If you need mental health resources because you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact the crisis text line by texting PA to 741-741 or call the statewide support and referral helpline at 1-855-284-2494. Again, 1-855-284-2494. If you or someone you care about needs help with a substance use disorder, please call the Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs Get Help Now hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Again, 1-800-662-HELP. For the most reliable information related to Pennsylvania's response, please visit our website at health.pa.gov. And what is most important for Pennsylvanians to remember is please stay calm, stay alert, and stay safe. Thank you. Governor?
Yes.
So after the green phase, and maybe we're all in the green phase in a month's time, 2 months' time, what is the step after that? Do you have a plan for after the green phase? Is there a golden phase, if you want to call it?
We don't have the plan in place yet, but that's absolutely what our attention is focused on right now. We suspect that we're moving into a new normal in the post-infectious disease world, that this won't be the last infectious disease we face. And we're assuming that when we get into the next flu season, probably sometime in the fall, we probably will not have a vaccine. We probably will not have the ability to do universal testing for everybody who just wants a test. And so what we're working on is what does life look like? We're going to have to act differently. We're probably going to all be wearing masks. We're probably all going to be exercising social distancing, just being a little more careful in terms of touching other folks. So we're trying to figure out what that new world looks like. We will do everything we can to make it as comfortable and as much as the old normal as possible. But I think we recognize that the reality is that we're probably in a new phase, something new here.
Does green ever end? Just to follow up, does green ever end?
Yeah, I mean, green is a phase. You want to take this?
Sure.
You want a public health perspective?
So we haven't determined what if it'll be another color or if it's just a different phase of green. But I mean, I think that as we continue to bend the curve, as we continue to see a decline in the number of new cases, and of course it depends upon the area, that a number of the restrictions that we have in green in terms of businesses such as restaurants, etc., we will be able to relax. And so whether we call it golden or it's just green, But we don't intend to continue all those restrictions forever. But we're going to have to be alert and vigilant, particularly in the fall, as the governor mentioned, for an increase in terms of coronavirus cases. Now, in terms of the flu, we will have a flu vaccine. So we will, with the flu vaccines be developed now, we will have a flu vaccine, and we're going to do everything we can at the Pennsylvania Department of Health to push out that flu vaccine so everybody gets a flu shot. It is less likely that we're going to have a COVID-19 vaccine. As we talk about the new normal, we're going to be looking for the development of a safe and effective vaccine for COVID-19 that we can then distribute. No one knows exactly when that's going to be. So we don't know if it'll be a different color. We could have a lottery for different colors, or if it's just relaxing the business. But we're going to have to remain vigilant and alert, especially as we enter the fall. Okay, you get the credit. Yes, sir.
Just one other thing. I think it's good to keep in mind that we're not fighting colors or restrictions or guidelines. We're fighting that virus. And what all the doctor and all we're trying to do, I think everybody is trying to focus on what is it we can do to defeat that virus. And so that's what we're trying to do, just keep people safe. Yes.
Governor, on Wednesday, you took part in a protest in Dauphin County, mm-hmm. in apparent violation of your own and Secretary Levine's orders and guidance of large gatherings. Congressman Keller went on to say on Wednesday that you had said hardworking Pennsylvanians protesting for the right to earn a living were cowardly, and then threatened to withhold the taxpayer funds, as we discussed previously, for folks that didn't social distance, and then walk arm-in-arm with protesters. Congressman Keller then went on to say his hypocrisy knows no end. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that was inconsistent. I acknowledge that, but I was trying to show support for a cause that the eradication of racism that I think is very, very important, and I was trying to show my support for that effort.
As a follow-up, if I may, mm-hmm. Governor Cuomo has recently said anyone that protests should be tested and either go into self-quarantine. Are those steps that you're taking, either self-quarantine or an abundance of caution, have a COVID-19 test?
I haven't decided at this point, but I am trying to be extra cautious as a result. I mean, I recognize that I took a real gamble there, but I thought that risk was worth taking for that specific cause. Jan?
Governor, kind of along the same lines, but mostly focused on your announcement yesterday since I wasn't here. I was curious why the state police commissioner wasn't standing with you, since you were talking about policing reforms for agents, law enforcement that's under your jurisdiction. Was he consulted for input on those recommendations that you made?
We worked with the members of the General Assembly, the Legislative Black Caucus, and had conversations, obviously, with the state police leadership and also the unions. My staff. But you're right, he wasn't standing with me. I didn't think that was necessarily what was called for. I was making the announcement.
How widespread do you think that the problems are within our state police, you know, as far as misconduct? Because you talk about having a commission and look at incidents and try to prevent incidents. I'm just wondering
I have no reason to believe that this is a big problem in the state police. I have the highest regard for the state police. I think that's what's driving this, that we need to make sure that we are open and transparent, and that we give citizens the right to have the same perspective that I have on the state police. These are dedicated officers, and we need to make sure that we're open about what they did. And if there's some disagreements and things that we think as a citizen group that we ought to be doing differently, then we ought to have a way to make sure that gets to the decision makers. Yes.
So under a plan pitched by Speaker Terzai, which you signed, the Department of Human Services will seek proposals from health systems that take a larger role in testing. What are your thoughts for both of you on this plan? And why weren't they brought to health systems? Why weren't they brought on sooner to help with nursing homes?
Sure. You want to take that?
So we're very supportive and very enthusiastic about the e-skip program that that was signed by, passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. And we're looking forward to working with the Department of Human Services. As you said, they have lead, but we're going to be collaborating with them in terms of working with the health systems and the nursing homes. There have been health systems that have worked with nursing homes in different parts of the state, but the e-skip program formalizes that, and there's funding associated with that. So we're really looking forward to that.
And I think part of your question is, why do we do it sooner? I think you could ask that question about a lot of things. This is a learning process for us. 2.5 months ago, early March, we had no idea what we were facing here. And as we learn more, I think we're doing a better and better job. I think we did a pretty good job anticipating this, but I think we, as we learn things, I think we need to be flexible. And I agree with the Secretary. This is was a good bill and is something that will improve our efforts to address the specific challenges at this area that's very vulnerable, our long-term care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, personal care homes. Yes?
Governor, the governor of Texas yesterday said that he would allow up to 50% occupancy for fans attending. I think initially he was talking about Major League Baseball, but it applies to all major sporting events in Texas. I just wonder if you're considering such a restriction at some point, and what's the status? I know you said you've been talking to pro sports and then college teams. You think of Penn State this fall. What's the status of that when it comes to fans?
Yeah, the status right now is no fans. The only ones that have thought about fans, the NFL, and basically it's conditional. Basically, they're selling tickets, but they're going to give rain checks or refunds to and it's not rain checks, refunds to fans if the games, for health reasons, aren't held before spectators. So the NHL, I think NASCAR, MLB, they're all talking about having doing what they're doing, obviously in a truncated season, but also before no spectators. So I'm just not aware of what the governor of Texas is doing, but that's where our conversations have been.
So you're not considering some sort of...
I don't know anybody who's considering that. That's you're the first one that's told me that anybody's considering that. Sorry, you haven't asked a question. Go ahead.
So of the total deaths of coronavirus in Pennsylvania, what is the percentage in nursing homes?
It's about 70%.
Right? 70%.
Yeah.
Governor, I know that...
Sarah, sorry. Yeah.
First, I raised my hand. Okay, we do have some questions from online. So actually, the first question is for Secretary Levine.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
This is from Public Source. You announced the collection of LGBTQ-related statistics for COVID-19. When will DOH start releasing this demographic information?
We'll release that information when we're getting enough and robust enough response from the people doing the ordering the testing and doing the testing in order to announce it. So this includes our order for race to be included, for ethnicity to be included, et cetera. We're doing much better in terms of race. About 60% of the lab tests now have that. We're somewhat less successful in terms of ethnicity, and we're not getting that much information in terms of sexual orientation and gender identity, but when we do, we'll release it.
I'm going to ask one more since we have a lot of online for you as well, Secretary. Discuss the status of Beaver County, which as of this morning is the only southwestern Pennsylvania county still in yellow. What are the factors contributing to the decision regarding that county status?
Mm-hmm. Well, as the governor announced, Beaver County next Friday will go to green. So there, in terms of all the different metrics that I spoke about today, they're improving over the last 2 weeks, and we're very pleased that they will go to green next Friday.
So I have to ask, what's going on with Perry County? Why aren't they moving into the green next Friday?
Because in terms of the different metrics that in our tool, it's on our website now, they did not meet that criteria in terms of either stable or decreasing rates of infection over the last 14 days. So when those counties do meet the different criteria, then they'll go to green. So Perry County didn't meet that for the next 2 weeks, but we'll be very hopeful that by next Friday we'll be able to make an announcement, but we're going to have to see what the data shows.
So far, just 157 state inmates have been released. Do you think
as per approval process, do you think that it's moving too slowly?
You're talking about the reprieve process.
Yeah.
As I said yesterday, actually, since March 1st, 3,000 inmates have been released. But the reprieve process was intended to be over and above the normal attrition. And what's happening with criminal justice reform to reduce the prison population, which, by the way, since 2015 was 6,700 reduction in the prison population. But the reprieve process has gone a little more slowly than we thought. But I think you have to take that in the context of the overall major reduction in the prison population. Yes?
Governor, yesterday in your comments, you were referring to the system and either the inherent or implicit bias in the system. Can you define that? And I'll have a follow-up as well.
Yeah. I think I mentioned some of the statistics, whether you're looking at unemployment, how we fund our schools, health care statistics, housing. There is a real divide in this country. And I think those are the statistics. And I think it's felt by the African-American population. And as I said yesterday, that's something that is really a hindrance to our democracy, because if we have one part of our population that feels that way in so many areas and has over a period of time, that actually is something that jeopardizes the rest of us. So we've got to do something about that, and I think that's what I'm trying to do.
Are there steps beyond what you outlined yesterday that the administration will be taking going forward to address that?
Well, I will continue to do things. Since day one, I've been focused on this to the extent I've been. But I think we if you recall, my first budget tried to address the inequity in education funding. I expanded Medicaid. I've broadened access to health care. We have a lot of work to do. But this is not something I woke up Wednesday or yesterday and said, oh, we really ought to work on this. I have thought this is important. This is one of the major things that brought me into public service 5.5 years ago to this office, and I take it very seriously. And what I tried to do again on Wednesday was make sure that I was publicly rededicating myself to what I came here to do. You had follow-up?
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, then I'll come back to you, Sarah.
I'm just following up on the sports question. When you talk about no fans, are you talking about no fans by the fall or just no fans for sports going on right now and that the situation could change as the fall occurs?
Right now, and that's what I said. The NFL, I think, is saying they are selling tickets. So they're looking at, and I think places like Penn State have not actually figured out what they're going to do. So it's all up in the air. But any sport that I've been talking with that plans to do something in the next month or so, they are, as far as I know, talking about no fans.
And so then the NFL doesn't dictate. You dictate what happens
at
Penn State.
I think dictate is really the wrong way to look at this. And that's why, and I know analogies are dangerous, and last week's analogy of the stop sign was probably dangerous, but I think that is a good analogy. How many stop signs are out there, and how many times have you seen a police officer at a stop sign? But we stop because we recognize it's in our self-interest to do that. And I think that's what this fight against the COVID-19 is. It's not about whether you have a regulation or you can dictate to the NFL what they do. It's whether all of us can make each other feel comfortable in doing the things that we need to do in everyday life. Go to school, go to work, go to buy something. If we can't, then and we can't satisfy ourselves that we're defeating this, there's no regulation, there's no dictator who can, wave a magic wand and say, everything is. It's just like the stop sign. You stop at a stop sign. Most people don't come to a full stop, but you stop at a stop sign because it's in your self-interest to do that. And I think that's what these sports groups are looking at. What is it that we need to do to keep our fans, our players, our staff safe? And that is what's, in the conversations I've had, that's what's driving them. It's not some abstract policy. Sarah.
This is from WGAL on elections. Many counties are still counting mail-in ballots and provisional ballots, and races are left undecided. How concerning is this, and can this be fixed in time for the general election?
Yeah, I don't know what fix means, getting the stuff, the results in faster. I'm sure that by the time of the general election, the results will be coming in faster. But let me just point out what we were facing here. In 2012, you can fact check this, but I think this is right, 2012 presidential election primary that year, which was, held in April. I think there were 1.5 million or so total voters turnout. We had 1.5 million voters who voted by mail. And then we had, I think, another million or so voted in addition to that. So we've had a huge increase in turnout. And a normal year, I think we might have less than a couple hundred thousand absentee ballots that counties had to count by hand the mail-in. That 1.5 million is a big surge in demand. So I don't know how long, to the question, I don't know how long that's going to take, but I'm pretty sure it'll take longer than it took when there were less than 200,000 mail-in ballots. How long it takes, I don't know. What we need to do and what the Department of State is going to be doing between now and November is trying to figure out ways. And there are other states everybody's faced the same thing, that is going from in-person voting to a combination like we have. There are other states that have done things that I think have helped. Investing maybe in a number of counties in scanning technology and ways to count the ballots faster, in putting more people into the mix. So there are a number of things we can do, and we will be supportive and looking to help the counties so that when we come to November, again, I don't know how long it'll take in November. We don't know how many people are going to come out to vote, but we'll do everything we can to continually improve the process.
Situation in Philadelphia in terms of violence? Has the National Guard's presence calmed things?
I don't know what has calmed things, but I think things seem to be moving in the right direction. People have peacefully protested, and the violence that we saw in some areas of the city seems to be abating, but I don't think anybody knows, and I certainly wouldn't attribute it to one group. The Philadelphia Police are the lead agency, and everybody is following their lead down there.
Yeah. Governor, just a reaction to today's positive jobs numbers and how Pennsylvania is stacking up in those jobs that were added most recently.
Yeah, it's too early to tell what Pennsylvania's numbers are, but yeah, that was a surprise. I think everybody was surprised at the jobs number, that it was much lower than the unemployment rate was lower than anticipated. So I don't know what that means. It'll be interesting to see over in the coming days and weeks what that means. But it might mean that things are rebounding faster than many experts expected. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.